You know, the reason we did that song, most of you guys haven't heard it. It was just performed for the first time a week ago by Tim McGraw in the Academy of Country Music Awards and just began to get some radio play this week on KSCS and The Wolf and some other stations around. And these guys, I said, you know, we got to do that song because it communicates so much of the heart of what we want to do. Our purpose as a church is to call all people to be fully devoted followers of Christ. But if I had my way, I'd change it. I'd say, you know what, our purpose, to say it another way, that doesn't change the purpose, it just says it in another compelling way. It's just to teach people to live like they were dying. Because they're dying. We're all dying. Every single one of us, we're dying. And sometimes we act like that's not a reality. And so we just live like this life is all that matters. And we get caught up in things. And the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. And it takes us totally off course. Tim McGraw, performed that song. He just lost his daddy, Tug McGraw, a guy that I grew up watching be a shutdown relief pitcher for the Philadelphia Phillies. And, Tug got inoperable brain cancer a couple of years back. And then his son was, singing this song that some creative folks have written for him. Just saying, in light of all that we've just seen, you can be at the top of the world athletically as a young man. And all of a sudden you're staring at some x-rays trying to make sense out of what you see. Or you could be a recent winner of, best male vocalist. Your wife could be best female vocalist. You have the world by the tail. And then somebody needs to kind of slap you in the face and go, man, it's great that you're excelling in your giftedness. But you know that one day your gifts aren't going to matter. One day you're not going to be able to sing. One of these days you're going to stand before a king. And he's going to want to know what you did with your life, what you did with him. And did you live in light of eternity? Let me tell you what I love so much about that song. Is it just put to a very, a great melody. Truths that the scriptures have been begging us to understand for a long, long time. You don't need to wait until you see that you're about to die to read through the good book. If you read the good book, you're going to live life to its fullest. You're going to live a life that is defined as wise, which is a term that is used a number of times in scripture for skill. A skilled architect, a skilled craftsman, a skilled musician, somebody that is skilled in living. You ever been around somebody like that? Man, that person knows how to live. It's funny because my kids and I have been listening to that song a lot this week. And they said, Dad, if you live like you're dying, you do some of those fun things. I go, you know what? I go, your daddy's done all those things. I jumped out of an airplane. I've gone Rocky Mountain climbing, climbed a bunch of 14ers and some other stuff. I rode a bull, not named Blue Manchu, but something. And I'm not sure it was 2.7 seconds, but I know it wasn't 8. That's what I told him. And I said, but you know what? That's not what real living's all about anyway. It's what your daddy's still working on. In light of the fact that this life isn't all there is. It's not about me. It's about learning to love deeper. Man, for me, it's especially about learning to speak sweeter. Not because I've seen some x-ray, but because I've seen a God that loves me and that has shown me what love looks like, that has drawn my heart. And all those times you hear your daddy not speak sweetly. Man, I got to work on that because of who Christ is and because I'm living in light of that. And I'm living like I'm dying. And that one day you're going to be resurrected to an everlasting source of life or an everlasting judgment. And I want to start to experience life right now in relationship with the one who gives it. That's what we're about as a body. Is helping you to live life in light of the fact that you're going to die. That's 2 Corinthians 5. In view of this, Paul said, or in view of the fact that there is a resurrection, we compel men, and we do anything we can that men might understand that they will give an account. And then in giving their accounting, they want to stand before him, and they're not going to hear, you could sing. They're not going to hear, you could draw, you could write, you could, litigate, you could sell. What they're going to hear is, man, you knew who I was. You took all the revelation I gave you in creation and conscience in my word, and you responded to it. You loved me, and you walked through life with me. You were skilled in living because you attached yourself by faith to the God who is life. Man, that is our goal for you today. And you know what? I want to have a ball doing it. And for you, like me, jumping out of airplanes is fun. Come on. If climbing mountains is great, like you, come on. If riding bulls one time is fun, come on. I did it. I'll watch this time, all right? But I'll say to you, more than that, man, you want to know where life is? You learn to be an other-centered person, man. You learn to love deeper. to give forgiveness that you've been denying. Let me tell you what the songwriters in Nashville have just caught up with. And that is a songwriter from Jerusalem. Psalm 39, look at this. See if this doesn't sound familiar. Lord, make me to know my end, even before x-rays. Teach me that my days have a limit or a number to them, that there is an extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am so I can live wisely. You know, a couple, you know, 1,000 years before that, a guy named Moses wrote a psalm. We call it Psalm 90. Lord, teach me to number my days so that I can present to you a life that lives like he's dying. A skilled life in light of reality and truth. So I can give you a heart of wisdom. That word wisdom means so I can give you a heart that is skilled in a right response. Now watch this. When Jesus was talking, he just got through saying in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. That's what wise people do. And quit worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. Each day's got enough trouble of its own. By the way, that's one of the reasons that worry is such a problem. Worry is a problem because worry asks for today what God will give you the grace for tomorrow. God has given you, he said, the grace for the moment that you're in. His grace is sufficient for the moment. And when you worry, you're saying, I need to care for tomorrow's troubles today. And God said, I ain't given you that yet. I've given you what you need for today. I'll get you through today. And when you wake up tomorrow, the manna of grace will be there for you on that day. But if you try and hoard it right now, and you try and get me to give you what you need for days ahead, that's not the deal. I want you to live with me in the moment. Don't be anxious. Know that I'm here. I know all about the x-rays. I know all about the x-rays. Just live in light of who I am. Man, this book is so good that we get to live and wrestle with and learn from. And when we read the good book, it makes a good life. When you know the good Lord, it makes a good deal of difference, folks. And our purpose is to help you and for you to help me live like we are dying. Now, we do some things here very intentionally to help us flesh that out. And we're going to talk about it today. Paul, in his little book in Romans, wrote a little two verses that are going to kind of remind you why we're going to do what we're going to do today. He starts in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. He says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, because God's so good, he's going to let you, in other words, you present your body as a living, that's easy, and holy, that's not so easy, sacrifice. You know, one person said this one time, said the problem with a living sacrifice is it keeps crawling off the altar. You relate to that? Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to lead the God I love. But he says, you be a living. You be just who you are, just who I created you to be. You be a living and holy sacrifice. That's your spiritual service of worship. All that little phrase there means is it's all you can do in light of what God's done. Give him everything you've got in light of everything that he's given for you and the fact that he's called you to share your heart and life with him. And don't be conformed to this world. But you be transformed. You ready for a little grammar? That is a passive perfect verb. All right? Perfect means it's something that happens continually. Passive means it's something that happens to you, not something that you do to something else. It is a verb or an action you receive. Too many times we reduce Christianity to do's and don'ts. And you're supposed to go out there and get your life cleaned up and do this and do this. And what the scriptures say is, no, you let God's word totally penetrate your heart, and it will change you. There will be a transformation of your hands when your heart is aligned with wisdom. You will be skilled in your central processing unit as God's Spirit invades you through his word that will change your output. So you let God's word transform you. Spend time with his word in prayer, meditating on his truth in spirit and with his people. And let that be the means of grace which transforms you by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove what the will of God is. All that is good, everything that is acceptable, everything that is perfect. Isn't that good stuff? You know what the problem is? Is that people aren't meeting enough strangers. There's not enough folks that are being transformed, and so they don't look anything like the world conforms them to look like. And it's costing folks a chance to live life like they were dying. In other words, to live life wisely. Some of you guys are here, man, and you're trying to find life everywhere you can find it. You're trying to find life in illicit relationships. You're trying to find life in success. Some of you have even said you've embraced Christ. And yet, you're crawling off that altar and worshiping somewhere else to find meaning, life, security, peace, hope, and significance. And today is all about crawling back. Today's all about letting you know what we as a body are about in terms of helping you be good and acceptable and perfect in light of what God's Word, God's Spirit, and God's community should produce in our lives. Now, this is a big deal. There's a lot at stake here, folks. And so we've got to take this very seriously, and you're going to find out we do. Sheldon Van Auken is an author that wrote a book called A Severe Mercy, among others, which captures his love relationship with a gal and his process of wooing her and also being wooed at the same time by the Lord. And in this little book, he writes this. He says that the best argument for Christianity, it's a label I don't like much because it's so loaded. In fact, what today is all about is dealing with some loaded terms. Christianity is a loaded term. It is a way to kind of say you're not Muslim or you're not Jewish. That's not what the term was ever meant to mean. You know, community is a loaded term. We think community means gathering together every other week with a group of people in a living room with our chairs turned towards a circle. It's not community. Missions is a loaded term. People think it means crossing an ocean to go to a depressed country and serve it. That's not what missions mean. Mission is what every one of our lives is about. It's more about crossing an ocean of indifference in our hearts for those that are not in a depressed nation, but that are in a depressed or depraved state and loving them. And one of the things that we are careful to never do here, when people say, when are you guys going to be involved in some missions? I'm going to say, from day one, that's all we've been about. We are a mission. You realize that? My sweet friend Cheryl Boyd, who was here when we started this church, is over in Russia right now serving. I was just talking to Cheryl in the back. She's home for a couple of months. And I was talking to Cheryl how it was gone. You know, they just released a Jesus film over there. And they did some study groups after the movie over there like we did here. Totally led by students that she's had a chance to bring into a relationship with God. Totally led by students that are now walking with the Good Shepherd. Russian students now discipling other students. And they were so jazzed that when the university season ended and they all went to the different places, they were like, we don't want to leave. We want to stay here and keep engaging with our friends. And guess what a couple of them did? They were commissioned by folks that used to go to Watermark that are in Russia to come to the United States of America, and they're in a work program in California sharing the hope of Jesus Christ with people from this country. How about that? But you know what? Cheryl's not doing missions for our church. Anybody who's rightly responding to who Christ is in the mission. And you don't need to cross an ocean to go over to a depressed or depraved land. You're living in it. We need to cross the ocean of indifference in our hearts. We need to blow up this concept of missions as something you do by thatched huts. It's something you do by broken lives as you live every day. You are either a mission field or a missionary. You tell me which one you are. That's a loaded term. Christianity is a loaded term. But the best argument he writes for Christianity is Christians, their joy, their certainty, their completeness. But guess what he says the best argument against Christianity is? Christians. When they are somber, joyless, smug, self-righteous, narrow, or oppressive, Christianity, he writes, dies a thousand deaths. There's another guy who wrote in his book, how many people are radically and permanently repelled from the way by Christians who are unfeeling, who are stiff, unapproachable, boring, lifeless, obsessive, and dissatisfied? Yet such Christians are everywhere, and what they are missing is the wholesome aliveness springing up from a balanced vitality within God's loving rule. That's great words. They're missing a balanced vitality, man. Life in light of who you are, who God is, and what He's done. Life in light of the fact that you're dying. And the fact that He wants to come and give you life now. Eternal life is not something to get. It's something to experience right now. It's the abundant good life, skilled life, and we're living in it right now. By the way, we love deeper, speak sweeter, give forgiveness that we've been denying. Start to be the husband that all the time I wasn't. That's great about country music. You can make those two words rhyme. That's some good writing right there. and be the kind of friend that friends have always wanted. And jump out of an airplane in the process if that cranks your yank. Just do what you want. But live faithfully in light of who He is. Let me tell you what we're committed to do with you in light of this. We're committed to coming alongside and making sure that you're not left alone in that process of experiencing life to the fullest. You know, story here, not true, I don't think, but of a couple of guys that wanted to go hunting up in the great Northwest. We're going elk hunting. And they got a little contractor, a little Cessna, flew them in, dropped them off. It was going to be back in 6 days. They had a couple of bull tags, a couple of doe tags. They bagged 6 elk. You know? And so 3 each. And that guy flew back in there with his little Cessna to pick them up. And he looked, he said, "Whoa, guys, you have to leave 2 of those elk behind." He goes, "This plane will only carry you 2, your luggage, and 4 of those animals. There's no way we're going to get all 6 of them out here." They go, "Hey, we're not going to leave these animals here. You know, this is good meat. That's why we came up here." And the guy says, "I'm telling you, the plane won't carry it." And they said, "Look, we hired you to come here and get us beside. The guy that did it for us last year had the exact same model plane as you did. And he let us take 6 elk on." So the pilot, you know, kind of begrudgingly let them on. And they took off. And, man, they weren't up in the air for, you know, 1 minute. And started to sputter. The plane started to choke. And it crashed right there into the thicket. And they crawled out of that wreckage, you know, and the guys were all stunned. And they looked around, and the one guy looked at his buddy and said, "Man, where are we?" And his friend looked up and goes, "You know, I don't know, I'm not sure, but it looks like about 1/4 mile from where we wrecked last year." You know how many people I know that's the story of their life? I go, "Where are you?" They go, "You know what, I'm about 2 weeks from a divorce attorney sending me a subpoena. Right where I was last year. You know where I am? About another $20,000 in debt. You know, a little worse than I was last year. You know where I am? Just as depressed, just as discouraged, just as floundering, just as angry, just as abusive. Just about where I was last year at this time." And man, when they associate themselves with Jesus and they say, "I'm not being transformed," Jesus dies 1,000 deaths. This is serious business. And because it's serious business, we've got to put an all-out assault on what we do to push each other towards that which God says He wants us to be, which is people that fully engage with Him, that the world looks at and go, "That is so strange the way you guys live. I am so moved by it. The melody of your life, I can't get away from it. I love that song. I've been playing it like crazy, singing it with my kids. And I want my life to be, I want people to want to tune into my life more and more because there's a sweetness about it. I want people to tune into this body of followers and say, I don't know what's going on over there, but there's something, or there's a song of transformation that's coming from those people. I want them to tune in because there's something here. There's a truth here that'll change them. It's who Jesus is." Now, we use a number of different measures to help us figure out how we're doing towards this end. And we have this dumb little thing called a 5C form, the 5 C's, that we think a fully devoted follower of Christ is all about, is a committed person, committed to God's word, purposes, and people. That's the big umbrella one. Man, are you sold out? Is your heart fully in? And if so, are you confident increasingly in the way you understand God's word, rightly dividing the word of truth, skilled in your understanding of it, not taking verses out of context or using them conveniently? And are you also competent in the way you apply those verses to your life? Are you speaking sweeter? Are you the kind of husband that for a long time you wasn't? Because God's word is helping you be increasingly competent as a servant leader, cherishing, honoring, valuing, exalting that person that you're yoked to. Are you dating differently? Are you controlling your flesh differently, married or unmarried, heterosexual or homosexual in your bent, your leanings, and your temptations? How you doing? Are you connected with other people who know you and love you? Sharing life with them, bearing their burdens and letting them bear yours, doubling your joys and having your sorrows. Are you contributing? Each of you has been given a gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Are you taking what God's given you and saying, "Lord, this isn't mine to make myself comfortable. This is yours to serve your purposes. I'm your steward." The question is not, what should I give? The question is, what should I keep? I know you want to care for me. I know you want to take care of me. I know you want me to celebrate the blessings of my industry and entrepreneurship. But it's not really about me at the end of the day. Let me be a vessel, Father, that's faithful. Oh, yeah, I'm going to need a lot of rocky road. I'm going to go to the right places and lay in some soft beds. But at the end of the day, that's not what I'm about. That's what I do because you love me at times. Where I live, Father, is being a funnel of faithfulness to others, to your work. Are you contributing? And are you increasingly creative, thinking, Lord, what do you want me to do that only I was designed to do so that you can take new ground as a king? See, that's the five C's. And we have a little thing called a 5C form that every year, every member, every person that's come out of the shadows and said, I'm going to yoke with you, fills out and self-assesses how they're doing this year. How's their Cessna flying? I will tell you that the reason that my life is what it is because of the work of God in my life, the grace of God, with what His Word has done to transform me, His Spirit and meditation and prayer, and then what other people have done as they walk through my life and say, Todd, you got way too many elk. That plane didn't get a fly. And just like there's a guy does a walkthrough before the president gets on Air Force One to make sure that plane is sound, not just in terms of its function as an aircraft, but to make sure there's nobody hiding in there to cause problems. There are guys that are walking through my life all the time. There's guys that are checking out my engine all the time, regularly, before I get up and try and fly again. And it's still tenuous, people. But for you not to have that would be awful. And that's why we're so serious about what we want to set out to do together. And that's why some of you got this letter that I'm about to read. We sent this out in March, as you've heard us say many times, our heart's desire at Watermark is to help those with whom we've come in contact with to become fully devoted followers of Christ. And we hope this letter reaffirms our commitment to shepherd and care for you. One of the tools we use as we work toward this goal is our annual 5C growth assessment. The questions asked in it allow you to think and pray through how God is working in you, and your responses allow us to help you pursue Him even more fully. Additionally, through this information, we can discern the areas that God would have us focus on as a church body, determine how we should budget resources, evaluate ministry strategies, and allocate staff. Let me just show you what we taught last year in our effort on Sunday mornings was in response to what we heard the year before the felt needs of our body were. The different sermon series that we did. We did a little series called The Load Down and Filling Up, which talked about how to appropriate the Spirit life. Because we understood from the responses that we got in 2002 that what would help you in 2003 is knowing what it means to live the Spirit-filled life. We did a series, on Malachi. Because we knew some folks said, I want to grow in my understanding of the Old Testament. We did a series on marriage because the number one thing that folks felt like they needed to work through and wrestle through was why marriage has to be lived a certain way, why it's a big deal to God. We did a series called Why? Because we felt like folks need to understand the meta story they live in, that God's the hero, that we have an enemy that's trying to destroy us and steal our hearts, and the Bible tells you that meta narrative, where you fit into that story. How He wants to engage you to live life to its fullest. We put out a series called If It Matters to Him, It Ought to Matter to Us. Because 2002, like 2003, an area that we need to take new ground in is our misunderstanding of what it means to be missionaries. And it matters to Him that there are people in this city more than ever before who are unconnected with folks who love Christ, specifically who are unconnected with Jesus Christ. And so we used that stuff to help take new ground on Sunday mornings. There were equipping classes that were introduced, ministry strategies that were introduced, staff that were moved around because of the responses that we received. It's helpful macro information to us, but there's a micro intention as well. And continuing in that letter, this is what it says. In December of last year, as we have each year before, we shared that we would be asking every member to spend some personal time reflecting on where they were in their journey toward Christlikeness by completing their 5C growth assessment. In January, I discussed the 5C tool on Sunday morning. I reminded us that professing to be fully devoted followers of Christ is not the same as possessing a life that reflects that commitment. I exhorted each of y'all to avail yourselves to all that Christ offers, specifically His Word, His Spirit, and connecting with people in order to take you to that next level of conforming to His image. I challenge you guys to make our full devotion actual, not merely something that we aspire to, not just aspirational. Then in February, if you got this letter, we reminded you that we sent out several emails reminding you that as a member, we hadn't heard from you to make the personal assessment a priority. We later followed those emails with a mailed letter. You're receiving this letter we wrote because we've still been unable to connect with you regarding your prayerful reflection on your walk with Christ. We are confident that you know our heart is not to trouble you with busyness, but as we have shared, we are in the business of changed lives, and this assessment helps us discern how we are serving you and thus our Lord regarding this purpose. We believe God's Word calls all followers of Christ to hold the values of authenticity and community as non-negotiable, and the 5C growth assessment is one of the ways that we pursue these values as members of this church family. It is our conviction, as leaders charged to shepherd the flock of God among us, voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness for your souls, that this kind of communication is necessary for us to serve you, and thus Him, who we're accountable to, with excellence. Though we shared with you during the membership process that we would be a church that purposes to have regular conversations with you concerning your walk with Christ, we realize, we wrote, that you may no longer be convicted of its importance. If your reason for not filling out this form is simply due to an aversion to forms or a lack of computer skills or access, man, let us know today so we can set up a time to meet with you and serve you in person, because we can frankly care less about the form. It's about you. And because there's over, several thousand of us now, we need to have something that will help this process get started. So a form is what most of us will use to initially get us the macro information, but you're going to find out what we do with the micro information, yours personally. And we wrote, if this letter comes as a complete surprise to you, or you feel that we have failed you in some way, contact us today so we can better love and serve you. If we fail to hear from you, however, we'll consider your lack of priority failure, your unwillingness to respond, as communicating your desire to discontinue your mutual commitment to each other with us. And we'll let you roll off our radar as a part of the flock of God among us. Doesn't mean you're going to hell. All right? That's up to you to figure out. You know what? We don't sit up here and try and see through you to find out if you are genuinely a follower of Jesus Christ. If you're somebody that's engaged with Him with integrity, or if you've just got some words going out there and, you'll stand before Him one day and He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. He'll say, didn't I say Lord, Lord? He goes, oh, you said Lord, Lord, you just never knew me as Lord. Depart from me, I never knew you. God knows, you know. That's up to you two to figure out. But it's not my job to see through you. It's my job to see you through to greater faithfulness. It's your job to spur me on, to see me through to greater faithfulness. And if this is your desire to move on, say, hey, quit worrying about me. You are, of course, still welcome to attend Watermark, but you're going to sadly miss out on all the blessings associated with being firmly rooted in the kind of community that God intends for His people. And we will, as a matter of first course, seek to serve you by calling you right back into that which you are choosing to leave. And we will not let you confuse yourself with a fully devoted follower of Christ when you say, I'm not going to take what God tells me I need, which is to be yoked with others in the context of biblical community who love me, know me, and care for me, and spur me on and walk through my Cessna. We are hopeful and prayerful that this will not be necessary and ask that you make responding to us a priority so we can continue to move forward in serving Christ and sharpening each other as He intends. If you have moved or have connected with another church body, please let us know so that we can celebrate your continued pursuit of Christ. Now see, let me tell you the heart behind that, man. It's because this is a big deal. And because the number one reason that folks don't love Christ is because they don't see in His followers anything that speaks of skilled and wise living. The Scripture says if you isolate yourself, you seek your own desire, you quarrel against all wisdom, all skilled living. He says if you are part of me, be a part of my body. I am the head and connect yourself to others. And when you get connected, make sure they know you. Now, let me tell you some of the responses that we got from this letter. I'd like to thank you and commend you for this letter and the heart behind it. I found so much in this little local body that's simply good and true. To be fully honest, filling out the 5C form this year was a bit painful and embarrassing. Through no fault of this church, this group of friends, I'm not much closer to Christ than I was a year ago. Filling out the 5C form untruthfully was never a consideration. But I suppose I kept telling myself that procrastinating and hoping no one would notice would be a better option. The thought that a decision to not look in the 5C mirror was the decision to not be a part of what my family of Christ at Watermark was doing, it startled me. And it became clear to me that my struggle with the 5C form was really a reflection of the spiritual struggle in my heart. Thank you for pushing me a little closer to Christ with tough love and in love. I'm expecting and praying that next year I'll look in the mirror and I'll see a more faithful follower of Christ. I believe that my friends who worship with me here in this body will do its part. That's good. You know what? I nosed my Cessna into the woods last year. I was embarrassed to tell you that. You know what I'm embarrassed about? Is that some guys like this, we don't know that for 12 months and then three more where we finally say, man, look, we got to roll you off our radar. We cannot find you to run our fingers through your wool. And so, you know, you may know the Lord. You may be somewhere else. We just like to know that. But we're no longer going to chase you. And we're going to let you roll off our primary, you know, layer of concern. And if we see you, we're going to love you and call you back to what Christ calls you to. You know what's so sad? Is that there are people who are members of church for 10, 20, 30, 40 years that nobody ever knows how many Cessnas they've got wrecked in the woods all around their home. And they keep loading them up. And God's saying, I wish somebody would care for them. Now look, when I say somebody, the somebody isn't me. It's not leadership. It's all of us. One of the things, as we went through as leaders, your responses in the 5C form, was that there was a lot of confusion and frustration over this little thing that we did with the shepherding process. We have chosen to use the term shepherding again to communicate to you our heart to care for one another in the way that we think God defines biblical community, discipleship, mentoring, all those little buzzwords of the day. Bearing with one another in love. Abiding with one another as we abide with Christ. And what I want to do is introduce you to some of the changes that we have made and some of the people that are leading us out in them. Rick, come on up here. Rick Wisner is one of our most gifted leaders in terms of how he helps us strategically put pieces together. Rick has been leading us in the equipping area for the last 3 years. As a result of what we saw in the responses to this year's 5C forms, among other things, we asked Rick to change his primary position of influence and leadership for us as a body, and we've moved him to our belong area. Now look, there are four major pillars of what we're about as a church. Remind you, to help people believe in Christ. Do anything we can, because it matters to Him, it ought to matter to us. And we are consistently asking ourselves, what are we doing to enable you to be effective in your communication to the world that is out there? Next week, at least, we're going to spend on the whole issue of homosexuality, gay marriage. Are people born that way? You know, why should we deny them that right? Isn't two mommies better than one? And what I want to do is equip you in this area so that if you were on politically incorrect, you could sound informed, intelligent, compelling, and compassionate. We believe that it is important on these issues for you to increasingly be trained in truth. And so we do stuff here. We do stuff through the equipping ministry that Rick has led us on. But believe in Christ. Belong to His body. Be trained in truth and be strong in the life of ministry. We've asked Rick to begin to give us leadership in the belong area. The belong area includes everything from having come to a relationship with Christ, now belonging to a body. If it's this one, fantastic. And Rick, I know that we've got a lot of people that are consistently saying, I'm a regular attender of Watermark. I've been a regular attender for the last 4 years. The church is 4 years and 6 months old. But I've never gotten a letter like that because I've never said, I care that somebody knows me. And what would you say to that person in terms of what they're costing themselves and if they are in their comfort going to be afflicted in a loving way this morning, what should they do?
Well, we've got the Connecting Point class set up, which is really two parts. One, we have a seminar that's on Saturday mornings throughout the year for 2 hours, and a 4 to 5 week group that meets on Sunday mornings, first or second hour. And at those times, you'll learn the heartbeat of our church. You'll learn practical ways how you can find places to serve and meet other people. But for some, it's just informative. You come and learn more about Watermark, and some at the end say, well, that's great. Now I know Watermark maybe isn't the church for me. Others, we kind of hold your hand through the process to get involved.
Okay, so why would I want to do that, though? I mean, what's the advantage of being a member?
Well, the advantage is the letter you just wrote. For the membership, it's having others that'll care about you and do things like that. For the leadership, we want to know who's on our team, who we're going to battle with, who we can be entrusted to care for.
All right. Partly a loaded question because the response is, the benefit is what you just saw. Let me just tell you something else, another guy. We've got permission to read all these. Somebody submitted this, and Rick shared this with me. he said, God is using the shepherding structure at Watermark because I'm a member to make me a more fully devoted follower. I was always under the misconception that my relationship with God was very personal and very private. God has used the structure, though, or the relationships at this church, to show me that my relationship with Him is very personal, but it is not meant to be private. Through my shepherd and the group I am shepherded with, I am constantly having people walking through my Cessna. He didn't say that. He says people in my face, encouraging me and asking me tough questions when I need them. Through my small group, I am now more able to share my faith and experiences with God as I serve. I guess you could say I'm not walking anymore alone, but now I've got a Paul, I've got a Timothy, and I've got somebody that I'm shepherding, he says. In other words, my life has been changed because I've stopped flying solo. And so one of the members, one of the benefits of, among the many, is it's part of the means of grace that God wants to give you. And to say that you don't want what God tells you you need to live skilled lives is arrogance that really should make you question whether or not when you say, Lord, you mean it. Now, Rick, one of the things that we found is that we were going to be very aggressive about loving people in such a way that every one of us, I as a sheep, would have a shepherd. I shepherd others, but I'm also shepherded by some. And then we're going to be very aggressive in making sure everybody had that relationship. And this first year, we found out that about 50% of the people in our body had a shepherd, okay, of members. That means 50% don't. And we talked about this, and instead of going, you know what, as we set out to be serious about this, rather than going, man, we are a failure, we said we have taken new ground. 50% of the people that are already here are saying, I've got a relationship with somebody who knows me, loves me, and lives these out. Define what a good shepherd should do, and I'll finish my thought right here.
Okay. It's walking alongside another for a season to encourage them in growing towards Christ's likeness. And we're defining that as knowing, partnering, and praying. Knowing who they are and how they're doing, partnering with them in their spiritual growth, and praying with them for them.
And so that partnering with growth, they sit down, they talk about their 5C form, which we just let the shepherd have and that individual have, and they work through that and talk about their Cessna. Talk about their life. If that form's helpful, use it. If not, just use the relationship. And then they come up with a spiritual direction plan that we train shepherds. And talk about our shepherd training.
Well, we're going to have shepherd training in late August. And we're going to have a retreat in January. And we just want to have times to come along the shepherds to help them do these things. How do I begin to spend time with my sheep and knowing them better, knowing how their marriage is doing, how things are going on at work or their relationships? How do I partner with them in spiritual growth? How do I initiate spiritual conversations with them? How do I take advantage of the tools and resources the church has?
Yeah, it's not about being the guy that can necessarily walk them through Malachi, but help them know there's resources that are out there in the equipping ministry and others. Take advantage of what is there. You don't have to be, you know, a president of a seminary to shepherd somebody. You know, you've got to be somebody who loves Christ, who knows the resources that are here, that we put together, and that are available out there to help your individual grow and go forward. I'll tell you what, we pull no punches for our shepherds when we get them together. In January, coming up this year again, we'll take away leaders of our church, several hundred of you that are involved in shepherding other people's lives, and we will do everything we can to enable you to be successful, to encourage you, to celebrate with you, to laugh with you. And, you know, for a number of years, we've taken leaders in different forms over to Fort Worth for a whole weekend together and just had a ball. And you should aspire to that, every one of you, to be asked to go to that next year. The way you'll get there is by having others that are going to help you get there and spur you on to be a person that we would want to say, hey, we affirm that this is a person who can be useful in the life of other people because they love God, not because they've been a believer for a certain period of time or a certain age or have, you know, completed certain courses, but because they love Christ and are diligently pursuing Him. About 50% of our people don't have shepherds. And instead of being discouraged about that, we're saying, okay, let's try and get 75% next year that do. Let's try and get 90. Let's take new ground every year. Our goal is that 100% of our body would have somebody that cares for them in this way. And we will not rest until we get there under Rick's leadership. So if you're out there today and you don't have a shepherd, or the shepherd you have, how shall we say, is a poor shepherd. I think that's a sanctifying way to say it. What should they do?
Well, first of all, if shepherding is not working right now and you have one, it's probably because it feels like an assignment. It's probably someone that you don't normally run into very much. And if you're a shepherd, maybe you feel guilty about it and it's just not working. So what we want to do is we want to help you get in relationships, shepherding relationships with people that you're sharing life with. So first of all, the way that we track shepherding is based on where you serve. So first of all, you'd need to find a place to serve. Then you would talk to your ministry director where you serve, and they would want to make sure that you're sharing life or you have some of those relationships. And they'll work with you in that. If you don't, then they'll encourage you to go through this process of developing relationships, which you see up here. Now, we've got different tracks for you because we know that it doesn't necessarily work for us to decide one form and have everyone do it because that might not work for you. For some of you, you may want to develop some relationships based on the ministry you serve. For others, it may be where you live. If you live up in Plano, you may want to gather with some of those folks. For others, it may be season of life. For others, it may be equipping opportunities or celebrate recovery. And for some, it may just be relationships that you develop. So we're trying to work very hard to develop environments to help you based on the track you want and where you are. So out in the lobby, we have these blue forms that are pages of opportunities to connect and to meet others. For example, this Saturday, we've got an event for Plano Richardson families to go to the park and just to meet each other, develop relationships. There's another page of groups all around town based on region or that. So we want to encourage you to go grab one of these. These are on the website. We're always developing more of these. If you want to be a part of our team to help put these on, please call and talk to me.
What we've got there, this whole belong idea is a funnel that moves folks down. If you see that connect larger events that move people to a belong family type event that moves them into those individual relationships where we hope shepherding can happen. It's almost like a van to a bus to a car. And that's what we want to move you toward. We know that life change happens best in the context of relationships. And Rick and his team, if you've got a heart for this, say, how can I help you do this and get people connected in that way? How do you find a place to serve? Through that connecting class. We have an entire ministry that's set up with people whose ministry in this body is to help you based on how God has shaped you discover the best place for you to serve Him. And for many of you, it won't even be here. But we'll celebrate how God's using you in mission and opportunities outside of this mission. So it's all about just saying, here we go. Let's lock arms together. Man, Rick, thank you so much. This is a face and a name, Rick Wisner, that you can contact and say, would you help me? My shepherd and I aren't doing it right. Or I don't even have a shepherd and I'm a member and you guys are supposed to care for me. Would you help me do it better? We are committed to that. That's an area we are investing. We're staffing differently this year. We're budgeting that area differently, and our strategies will change because we're taking new ground. Why? Because it's a big deal. Now, as Jim comes up here, I want you to meet Jim Wimberly. And Jim is the director of our pastoral care. I want you to hear about some opportunities that we have in another area. Our core values are things like grounded in grace, biblically based, Christ-centered, connected in relationships, relevant and innovative, and passionate about prayer. As we look at our little list, let me just tell you some interesting things about our church. 70% of our church is married, members. 30% are single. Now, there's probably a lot more that attend. What's really sad is that we've got a number of married women that are members when the married men aren't. We have found that as we look consistently at the feedback from you all, that our single men are lagging behind our single women in their response to who Christ is. And that's why this fall, when we do our little men's breakfast, we're going to address what biblical manhood looks like. You want to go to a men's club, boys? Come to that one for 4 weeks. All right? And we're going to talk as men what we need to be doing to bless and serve the women at this church. And the first thing we can do is stop drafting behind them and step it up as men. That's life. So we're going to talk about that in September. There's a lot of you guys in here that are doing that. And we're going to lock arm with some others and say, join us. We're going to reach out to the men in the community again. Say, you want to know what a real men's club looks like? Come to this one. That's coming in September. Another area that you see a lot of investment going into is our doing what we can to help you care about those that are right there near you, that are disconnected. Do you know that since 1991, there has been a 100% increase in individuals in this country that do not ever attend any kind of religious church or institution, not to mention the scores that do, where nothing is asked of them except that they'd show up, shut up, and pay up. And that sickens me. That sickens me. I'm going to tell you, there's two great mission fields in this country. One is folks that would never step foot in a place like this, and the other one is folks that are there every weekend. And that's why we say we have no problem saying if you're in a dead church that doesn't care what you do in response to Jesus Christ, we hope you come here because we care, because God cares. Now, God wants to have a relationship with you. And one of the ways we have a relationship with Him is in communion and connecting with Him in conversational prayer. And there's a lot of folks out here that go, I don't know about the opportunities to be passionate about prayer that are right here in my midst. Jim, walk us through some of the opportunities to pray here.
Yeah. While we're called to be devoted followers of Christ, we're also called to devote ourselves to prayer in Colossians 4:2. And we want to help you do a better job of that. But one of the things I want to do is share just a little short story about there was a little boy that loved music, but he was not talented in a way to either sing or play. And he was severely disappointed about this, but a wise old gentleman told him one day, he said, you know, there's a lot of different ways to make music, but the real question is, do you have a song in your heart? And that little boy, Antonio Stradivarius, went on to be the world's finest violin maker. And the point of that is that when we know Jesus Christ, He's put a song in our heart. And one of the things that we can all do is pray. And we want to talk to you about some of the ways that you can pray. And as Todd mentioned, tonight, Raise the Mark at 5:30 is one opportunity to be able to do that. Another way is that at our church office, we have a bi-weekly prayer meeting. This Thursday will be one of them. It's from 12:15 to 12:45. And we gather together to pray for our world, our nation, and our body here at Watermark. And then we also have the website.
I was going to say, if you guys just, those are corporate prayer opportunities that specifically we all are available to all of us. But specifically, now Jim's going to walk us through how you can share what's going on in your heart. If not through the Watermark News, which is right there, you go to our website. You go up to where it says Ministries. You click on Ministries right there. And it'll jump you to this page where you scroll down to where it says Prayer Ministry. And you just click on that Prayer Ministry. There's also a quick link on the side of the webpage, but that's the classic way, Ministries, down to Prayer. And when you get there, you'll see the things that Jim just talked about, the dates for Raise the Mark. And then there's a couple of things there on the side. Jim, tell them about the Presidential Prayer Team and also the Prayer for the Persecuted Church and World Prayer Team.
There's the Presidential Prayer Team that you can sign up for. And also there is one for kids. You can sign your kids up. And that's a great way to pray for our nation. And there's also links to the Pray for the Persecuted Church. And one of the things that we rate real low on 5C is praying for the unchurched in the unreached areas of the world. And this is a way that you can do this by signing up for the World Prayer Team. You get a weekly prayer letter where you can pray for a country.
Now, Jim, when I think about prayer, I think about, you know, wearing a little hole in a hardwood floor. You know, if I don't pray 6 hours a day, I must not be one of God's prayer warriors.
Yeah.
You know, and just kind of debunk that myth for me.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we encourage you to do by signing up for the Click and Pray is just that as you receive that prayer request, that you would take 5 seconds to pray for that prayer request.
Does God really, this is the things that we need to communicate. You know, when we hear about these ideas of praying continually, you say 5 seconds. I mean, does that prayer count as much as if I sweat and bleed on my knees?
Amen.
It does.
Yeah.
You're sure?
I'm positive.
You'll stand before the judge in heaven and say, told people that.
I will guarantee that. So.
All right.
And we want to encourage you to do that. That's a starting point. You know, if you'll just commit to 5 seconds. And what you do, you can sign up for this Click and Pray prayer request. And how many in the room are signed up for that already? Receive prayer request.
Okay, now look at that.
Yeah. You don't see many hands because we have about 15% of our body is signed up. And we want to get you to sign up, either going to the website, or we're going to make it easy for you today if you would take this perforated portion. And if you would just go down to Other, and you would click, or you would put a check mark and write Click and Pray, and on the opposite side of that, fill out the contact information and leave it at one of the back tables as you go out. We'll get you signed up so you'll be on that list. And if you are really a seasoned prayer warrior, you can sign up to be on the 24/7 prayer team.
And I'd encourage you to just go to the website and read what that is. Mm-hmm. For the sake of time. But what I want you to know, the reason we're doing this is because you guys go, man, this sounds like a commercial today. You know what? Worship is not something you do. It's someone you are. This is an exegetical message. We're telling you how to work out a right response to who Christ is. And we're giving you specific ways that you can know what's going on in this very large growing body. It is great to know who is celebrating a transformation in their office because they've been praying for this person or saying, tomorrow I'm going to have this conversation with this person in my office. I'm taking a lunch. Will you pray for me? It's great to have a piece of that mission. It's great to be able to pray for folks as it says there in your Watermark News saying, talking about stories of illnesses and financial difficulties and things like that, where God sometimes moves us to pick up the phone and come alongside that person. So click and pray. The commitment is that when I get an email, as I read it, just say, Lord, would you be with the Shoemakers as they continue to wrestle through sweet Travis's chronic illness again and again, trying to love and shepherd that child well. This report, this doctor, or, you know, other stuff. Like, I'm going home to see my parents. I've got a very dysfunctional relationship with my mom and dad. As we have meal together this weekend, would you pray that the grace of God would live through me? To get to pray for somebody in this church as they go back home to Wisconsin is stirring. Now, I don't write it down and pray for it for the next 6 months, all right? But I can tell you, I pray for every one of those that comes across. And it's a delight when I see those people and I get to know their names. I say, man, I've been praying for you. Or I prayed for you in that moment. How'd that turn out? All you got to do is just say, I'm willing to do that. I'll read an email and take it to the Lord. And Jim has told me that that's just like fasting and praying over this stuff.
Okay. And what it'll really do, it'll help increase our greatness of God and also help us become more connected with the people in the body at Watermark.
If you want to know how you can grow in that area, in that discipline, and know more about how to be an effective person in taking an intercessory role in the body of Christ, Jim is your man. He leads us in our pastoral care ministry and has a face and a name that you need to get acquainted with. Jim, thanks so much.
Thank you.
For coming up and walking us through that. Now listen, gang, all this is about us not being just simply a church that plays games. I walked us through the book of Malachi, and I'm going to take you real quickly to one section that we did right there, because the book of Malachi started with a nation saying to God, what are you talking about? We don't despise you. How do we despise you? And God responded to the people that Malachi wrote to by telling them, you disrespect and despise me by the fact that your heart is not engaged with your mouth. You're going through the motions as a people. Now, the way we disrespect as individuals and disregard God today is we ritualistically go through the motions ourselves. We respond to a feeling in worship more than wrestling with the true meaning of what worship is. That's what today's for. It's not a bunch of good feeling songs. And every week when we end the services by saying, man, have a great week of worship, that is our lame attempt at saying worship is who you are, not what you do in a moment during your week. We despise God when we lead others in worship without intently seeking the face of Christ ourselves. We despise God when we are consistently consuming religious services without responding to Christ's call in your life. And we despise God by staying on the periphery of the body, not connecting, serving, and stepping up. You would go, I don't despise God. And he's going to say, you don't say you despise me, but where's the love? See, what the purpose of today is to let you know, guys, that we want to love you and be loved by you. I want you to spur me on to love and good deeds, and we will lock arms together and say, hey, did you know Cessna Inn? So did I before. I need your grace. I need your forgiveness that I let you down. And would you help me load this plane right? Would you help me tune that engine? And let's just fly over some folks and give them some hope that people can rise above the thicket and the jungle of life and live like they were dying, where real life is. Can you imagine if you share life like that with folks when you stand before the Lord, what that moment will be like? Let's pray. Father, I can only imagine what will happen if we as individuals lock arms the way you intended us to. And we don't play church, but we stay fervently focused on being the church. And we use forms, or we use conversations, we use life on life, that's the thing. We use life on life, God, to help each other be all that you've asked us to be. And the melody, the product that you will produce from that, will be such that other folks will want to tune in. And we'll get to tell them who the composer of that melody is. It is Jesus Christ. Crucified, dead, and buried, resurrected as a sign that He was a completely satisfactory provision for our sins. And now, Father, we have locked arms with Him. And in keeping with His will, locked arms with each other. And Father, may Your Spirit so invade our lives that when we stand before You, we will hear, not depart from me, you who despise me, but welcome home, faithful servant. And Father, we'll be so overwhelmed that the One who's given His life for us already will give us reward and give us gifts that we won't know whether to sing or just stand before You in silence. But I pray that You give us a picture, that we would imagine Not what it's like to see an x-ray to know that we're dying so that we have to begin to live life. But that we could imagine, Father, the reality and the truth of your word, the good book that has told us, the good word, that this good life is but finite and you are eternal. And living in relationship with you alone can provide the life that we can only imagine. And living faithfully with you in this life alone can provide the expectation of celebration in heaven when we can't imagine how good it's going to be to forever delight in who you are.